welcome to Sometimes Heroes, Season 2, Episode 26. My name is James, and I'll be your Game Master. Let's introduce our players.
Hi, I'm Mark, and I play Yeesh, the human fighter paladin.
Hi, my name's Molly, and I play Eden, the noble human sorceress slash wizard.
My name is Winter, and I play the elf druid Sariel.
Hi, my name is Amanda, and I play the elven rogue Iria.
And lo, my name is Eric, and I play Sten, the half-orc barbarian.
Last time on Sometimes Heroes, y'all managed to find your way out of the noble estates across the very dangerous cavern that makes up the Undercity and into the craft halls, in which you found a beholder who said, "What's up? Tell me about yourselves." And then you guys went and hid in the closet. Oh, and also the kobolds said that maybe they were doomed from the start and were not actually what they said they were.
Okay, I must take umbrage with you, James. We didn't just go hide in the closet. Geesh was actually starting to tell him things, but the kobolds really had to pee.
Ah, yes.
No, we thought we were escaping, but we opened it up and it was a closet, and then we just rolled with it.
No, I'm 100% committed to the idea that the kobolds really had to pee, and Zilnihiranth doesn't get the idea of going to the bathroom, because I don't think beholders defecate.
Wait, you saying that they're going to just start urinating in this closet we're in, so we're going to die in a puddle of kobold urine?
Hopefully.
Yes.
Anyways,
oh, no.
Start before this gets even weirder.
I don't like this.
Well, this is your fault, James.
They're like scared puppies that eat people.
Oh, no. Anyway, you guys are in initiative. Sariel has just completed her turn attempting to get this beholder to blink by, I forget exactly what you tried to convince it of.
Talking magic like I usually do.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to convince it that the monster that it has aligned itself with to be reborn is not its friend.
Right.
But I didn't roll anywhere near high enough to pull that off.
Indeed. And also, when you brought it up, the green eye stalk looked at you and tried to telekinesis you around the room unpleasantly. But you managed to hold on. Now it is Geesh's turn. You see in front of you four misshapen creatures still scrambling in front of the doorway over now what is a like 2-foot lip of iron struts and sheet metal. And behind them, a beholder, its skin bluish and almost scaly, but not consistently. One section of it covered in purpley scars leading up to a tiny eye stalk with a large green eye at the end, thrashing around in the darkness.
Well, all right.
Eyes should not thrash. That should not be a verb to describe eyes.
I agree.
Okay, Geesh has an idea about how this works.
Idea.
Yes, I said that, idea. Geesh has an idea of how fight the beholder. I guess, should I roll a history to confirm it, James, or?
Depends. Does this have anything to do with prior knowledge of beholders?
You telegraphed it pretty hard how his main eye works.
Well, do a history check anyway, just to see if you know what's up.
Okay, so I'm going to roll history. I rolled a 14 in history.
What beholders do?
I guess Geesh is now pretty certain that it's the main eye that's deactivating their magic.
Yes, you in fact know that a beholder's main eye, which is currently fixed upon you in a door. So those of you that are behind the walls can still feel your magic items and the like, which I guess is just Iria as she is stealthed behind the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But Geesh, you are aware from context and stories that as long as this main eye remains fixed on you, no magic will work. It must have been looking away for just a moment when it disintegrated the door and threw Sariel around.
Okay then. So Geesh will quickly see over his shoulder to the rest of the group. If that main eye can see you, it's going to deactivate your magic. So either hide or try to get behind it, because he can't see back there. Just be careful of the eye stalks.
That's bad.
Oh, because you're trying to orient which way he's looking. That makes sense.
For your reference, down is where he is looking. The token.
Right. The bottom of his jaw, of his mouth. Mm-hmm. Okay, then. So I guess I don't have my magic, right? Because he's looking at me.
As you just reach out instinctually to this magic that has been available to you whenever you invoke Siloon's name,
mm-hmm.
It just, like, completely absent. Nothing happens.
Well, then. I guess I'm going to get into the thick of it. I'm just going to start swinging on them, see if I can't drop enough of them in the process.
Okay.
And leave myself horribly open to his next awful magic attack.
Woohoo!
So I'm going to hit the one in front of me and attack twice.
All right. One of the creatures in the door, you drop an attack on it.
I roll 15. Does that hit?
It does, though nice. You feel your sword just being slightly less wieldy in your hand. It does, in fact, strike true, as this creature doesn't seem to be interested in dodging or anything of the like. As it's scrambling through the new opening, you meet it and cut it in twain. Two halves of its body slip to the ground. It appears that normally you would have met bone?
Mm-hmm.
And the like, as you were cutting through it, doesn't seem to have much of that going on.
So I just cut through some boneless chicken. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's for the kobolds, I think.
Right? No, they're gonna have plenty.
They love the boneless.
There's gonna be plenty to eat if they survive.
They need that marrow. They love the bones. What are you talking about?
Oh right, right.
Boneless is better. I want to eat the whole thing, and I'm sure the kobolds want to eat the whole body as well.
They can. They just needed to gnaw on it for a little while afterwards. That's where you get the real savory goodness.
Can I hit this guy at diagonal since I have another multi-attack?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm just going to continue to chop up these sleepy soft boys who aren't looking at us. I'm glad they're not looking at us. Oh, that one was a 21. I know that hits.
Guiche just steps out, and as these creatures begin to pour in the four that are left, he cuts down the first two with quick and efficient slashes before the next ones start to set upon him. It is Iria's turn. You stand next. You stand
hit
next.
James?
Sorry, what's up?
Sorry. Why are there X's through so many of those?
They're dead.
How did all of them die except the two?
When Sariel shot us through
yes,
the door.
Yes. I forgot. I'm sorry.
Yep, why are some of them red and some of them blue?
That is a good rules corner question. Ba-da-ba-ba-da, rules questions.
yes.
So when you're using lots of small enemies that you don't want to be a big deal and you want the party to be able to cut through pretty easily, that they're supposed to be essentially a meat shield, which these fit the bill, it is easier to run them as small groups. So in this, we have four who are in blue group and four who are in red group. They act on the same initiative. They do the same amount of damage. They have the same amount of health, which is very little.
Oh.
But they are something that is stopping you from directly attacking the very dangerous foe behind them.
Gotcha.
Da 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 da. Rules corner. All right. yes. Sariel blew some up, and now it is Iria's turn. She stands next to a huge rack of piled iron pipes with runes covering them. Sten, having just pulled one out, she is hidden behind the corner.
Hey, James.
Yes.
It's me interrupting again.
Woohoo!
Didn't the... Not to, like, make us all die, but I thought the beholder got to act between every turn or something.
So, da-da-da, rules corner again.
Sten, get out of here! Please!
It should be, like, rules corner, sponsored by Arby's or something.
Yes.
I like it.
The light above the Arby's that blinks and reminds us of the existential beyond. I was bringing up at the end of last session is that you are finally fighting an enemy with legendary actions. This enemy has an action that it can use on your turn at some point during... It's like an opportunity attack that it can use, but whenever it wants to.
But just once per turn?
Once per round. There are enemies that have multiple legendary actions or legendary actions that it can use, like... It's a point system. Like, elder dragons have three legendary actions. And... It can use, like, two of them to breath you just for funds. Anyway, Iria, it's your turn. Sten, no more interruptions.
Sorry.
So, I think what I want to do is shoot a sleep dart, at the dude that's within my field of vision. The blue one that's close to Sariel.
Okay, the sleepy eye that's across the way. Of the now disintegrated door?
Yes.
Okay. Sounds reasonable. I think this is your last sleep dart, though.
Yeah, that's true. I don't really have... Oh, I guess I have a crossbow. Oh, yeah, I have alchemist fire. Can I put alchemist fire on a dart?
That? I don't think so, but let's check. So Alchemist Fire is an interesting item because it's not super strong. So Alchemist Fire, adventuring gear. It deals 1d4 damage, fire. It's an improvised weapon. You can throw it 20 to 60 feet. Dexterity save against it. So it is an item that doesn't do a heck of a lot of damage, but it will set things on fire. It's like Torch Plus.
Okay.
It's like a pocket Sten, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. I feel like it would be... Would it be better than a blowgun? No. Because it's 1d4.
Whereas a blowgun does one damage.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I'm gonna just shoot the crossbow. That's what makes sense to me now. I wanted to set something on fire, but I'll do that later.
I like the idea of Iria just, like, fingering this Alchemist Fire, being like, yes!
Yes!
And then being like, wait, hold on, no, this is irrational, and putting it away and just pulling out a crossbow and capping a fool.
Okay, so yes, I will shoot crossbow.
Okay. So, this target does not see you. Roll your sneak attack.
I rolled a 15 on my sneak attack.
You deal 24 damage to this target.
Nice.
Iria leans out and just straight headshots the creature across the way, and it crumples into a heap, and like the targets that Guige has cut down, begins to melt. Iria, you have one more attack, I believe.
Okay, it can move, right?
Absolutely, you can move between attacks, but you are no longer hidden.
Right, okay. So I'm gonna move next to Guige, and then I'm going to shoot my crossbow at the dude that is very ugly.
There's a lot of ugly dudes. Most of them are dead now. But which ugly dude are you going for? Small ugly dude or floating large ugly dude?
The big one. The one that looks and his name like Raz Al Ghul or something.
Zelnitharoth!
Raz Al Ghul.
The Reborn. Yes. The Resplendent.
Yep, yeah, that one. Nasty the Repulsive.
How dare you?
I shoot him.
You fire your crossbow with a 14, and it strikes the edge of this floating orb, this face in front of you. It glances off its skin. It appears to be very hard.
Oh, dear.
Eh is a good sound. All right.
At least we learned something today.
Indeed. It is the red crew of now melting corpses, but you've dropped all of those guys, so don't worry about it. It is Zelnitharoth's turn.
Wait, I think we just skipped... Didn't we just skip a kobold?
Oh, heck, we did. It is kobold's turn. You're right. It is kobold's turn. The kobolds square up behind you guys and do a number of things. First of all, Crashing Tide twirls a sling and fires a stone at Zelnitharoth, which bounces off. Guiding Wind moves to cover and beckons everyone else to do the same.
Wait, I just want to process this. He just rolled a 17 and missed. Is that correct?
So, yes.
Oh,
so
good.
As a reminder, I did know your enemy. I mean, out of character. Guiche hasn't said this, but out of character. Zelnitharoth has greater HP than me and the same AC.
Excellent.
Yes. Terrible. Zelnitharoth's AC is 18. Life Tender moves forward and rifles around in one of his pouches, hurling what looks like a plant out towards this creature, and casts Entangle, against which Zelnitharoth does save.
I hate this guy.
As these tendrils attempt to tie it into the hard stone around it, but Zelnitharoth just like gnaws through the tendrils and continues floating. Bonecaster attempts to sling at it as well, dealing 6 bludgeoning damage. Every one of the kobolds after doing this is retreating out of the creature's line of sight. Ground Shaker slings as well, hits for 6 as well. 2 sharp stones dig into Zelnitharoth's scales, and it appears to flinch at them. But Firekeeper rushes forward and throws a bladder, what looks like a wineskin almost, of something.
Yeah, we said they were going to urinate all over the floor, now he's just straight up throwing his bladder.
The bladder strikes Zelnitharoth and bursts into flame, dealing 20 fire damage as it ignites.
Dang, it's not bad.
Nice, man.
You hear all of the kobolds chattering and hissing and yelping to each other as this happens.
Yes.
Zelnitharoth's turn.
No.
It is going to make some random rolls to see what kind of nonsense it drops upon you, upon those it can see.
Small rules corner. James is rolling to see which ice stalks are attacking and which spell they will use.
First, from top to bottom, it is going to make 3 ice stalk attacks against you guys. Gij, Iria, then Sariel. First, Gij, make a DC 14 save strength.
Okay. I rolled a 16 strength save.
You manage to thrust your sword into the stone next to you and grab onto a section of rusty door as your body lifts up and starts getting hurled in random directions.
I look like one of those wacky waving inflatable arms, man.
Indeed. Iria, make a wisdom save, DC 14, as another eye stalk stares at you. As this happens, Zelnihirath looks away, staring at his one remaining hench creature and moving slightly further away from the door.
Oh, what happened? I thought you were splendid.
Whoa, don't trash talk him. That might be a bad idea.
Man, I was down to share my personal stories with you, and now you're attacking and run away.
I got a really bad feeling about this.
Iria?
Sorry.
Roll a DC 14 wisdom save.
Okay, I rolled a 7.
Iria and I stares at you and burrows deep into your mind, revealing your deepest fears. And all of a sudden, you cannot control yourself. You cannot stand to be near this fearsome creature. You cannot move towards it, and you are disadvantaged on all things against it until you save against this fear.
Ah!
Indeed. Wow, this guy's rolling 6s all up and down. Sariel, you're about to get thrown around again. DC 14 to not get thrown around. Strength.
And that's a saving throw, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oop. I rolled an 8!
Uh-oh.
It's fine. I'm sure being able to turn into a bear gives, like, me some regenerative abilities from the concussions. Probably.
Oh, good. A wall is about 30 feet away from you, and Sariel, after regaining her feet from a moment ago, gets ready to do her business, but another eye stares at her, and her feet lift off the ground and is hurled against the back wall. Let's see. I believe each 10 feet deal 1d6 damage.
Ouch. Poor Sariel.
And this is why we're in the closet and not outside where there's a nice open space and we can be flung to our death.
I don't know. Maybe we'll all be happier with our lives if we just come out of the closet.
True.
Well, we will.
It's true.
Once the holder goes away.
Out proud.
Oh, man. So the 7 is the total damage. I was like waiting for another 2 rolls and to be dead.
Hold on.
You got up easy.
Okay. Yeah. You did get off pretty easy.
Okay.
I was looking at falling damage for a second.
Yeah.
You take 7 damage as you fall 30 feet into the wall behind everyone else, slamming into it, but generally doing a like pretty sweet roll as you don't get hurt overly much.
No, I'm going to be sassy out of character, but you should all thank Gij after the battle for ushering us into the closet, because that was a good idea.
Yeah, that was clearly your plan.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely knew it was a closet.
Absolutely.
After this, the beholder uses the rest of its move to move another 25 feet away. It still cannot look at you during this time because it can't be like, I looked away for half a second. It has to look away for the entire time as it's messing with you. All right.
Wait, say that again. Look, it has to look away while it's messing with you?
Yes, as Gij said, even its magic can affect you as it's in
its own anti-magic
cone.
Okay, cool.
All right, Sten, you're up.
Okay. Well, I still have this cannon-like thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can I, like, roll it to the entrance here and try to shove something into it while pointing at the thing?
Yeah. The entrance is only, like, 15 feet away, and you can move, like, 40 feet, so that seems very reasonable to me.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if I could do it with this thing, but it's, like, half the distance. Okay. I'm gonna roll it over there and shove a thing in from the top, and then if that doesn't work, maybe in from the bottom. We'll just see what happens. See what's what.
Okay, let's roll in athletics first to see if you can, like, are you trying to, like, aim this thing at all?
Yeah, I'm trying to aim it at the beholder, yeah.
Okay, yeah, roll in athletics.
I rolled a 25 in athletics.
Well, that's a thing.
Damn!
I think James is doing math.
He's been, the beholder keeps f***ing with James.
There's a lot of spells involved in this one.
Ah, yes. James is made of magic.
So, as you are angling up the end of this and using your foot to like toe in the iron balls at the end. The runes alight, stringing around this in a rifling pattern. You see the iron orb sort of get sucked into the end and launched out the other side in the general direction of the eye, and Woo! Hits for 5d8 damage, 23, as it is struck with an iron orb in the side.
Holy crap, I can't believe it worked! These things are awesome!
Screams out.
Yeah, eat it!
Jay, should you give us a f***ing rocket launcher to fight the beholder?
Dwarfish stone throwers! Madness!
We didn't have to say an incantation, really? You just put it in.
That was what I was worried about, too.
That's awesome. Guess who's using her strength potion?
Oh, nice. Potion of rocket launchers.
Sten, that takes your entire action, but that dealt 23 damage to the beholder.
Worth it. Probably not going to work again if he knows what's good for him.
Okay, so at this point, the sleepy-eyed creature that is still next to Gige launches past its comrades, its unhinged arm that appears to have three lower arms sticking out of it with claws attached begins to flail in Gige's general direction. Does a 9 or an 18 beat your AC?
The 18 hits me. Oh, well, no, I mean, it matches me, so does that hit?
Yes.
Okay.
Matches go to the attacker.
Alrighty, so I'll take 7 damage.
Okay, and it is Eden's turn.
Oh my god, what is happening?
Currently, your magic returns to you. All of a sudden, you can feel the spirits rush in around you as if they were pushed away a moment ago.
Oh, thank goodness. Gige, I'm gonna still, like, hang out maybe behind you, because you have a giant hunk of metal with you.
Yeah, no, just stay behind me instead, as always, you know. If you can, get Zell Nihiron through some magic or something, I don't know.
As he retreats like a coward.
I feel like there's something going on. I'm scared as hell.
Mock him. You can try mocking him verbally or ask him very politely why he went away, because Sten thinks he's going to pull out some big magic.
I have a theory, but I'm not going to say it because I don't think Sten would guess it and I don't want people to act on it.
I have a feeling that mocking him for, well, really anything could lead to bad things. Anyway, I'm just going to throw some lightning at the guy and we're gonna see what happens.
Yes. Yes, queen.
What flavor of lightning are you choosing?
I'm going to do lightning bolt. All right, Gige, if there's a camera, if we're on a TV show and it's facing you, you're going to see a hand creep up behind your shoulder and like reach out and just toss some lightning. Or at least that's what would happen if this were just a comedy and it was supposed to look silly.
Well, this is something you can absolutely do. Do you want to spend some sorcery points to do careful spell? And you can cast past Gige and hit Sleepy Eye in front of him as well as Zelnitharoth?
Yeah, absolutely.
I startled for a second, but then I recognize, oh, I know that dainty hand.
All right, here we go.
Well.
So Eden rolled a 32.
That 32 is the roll to hit, right?
No, the DC 14 is whether she hits or not. And the Eye and the Darkness rolled a 7, and Zelnihiroth the Reborn rolled a 13. So both of those hit for full.
Oh, man.
Oh, yes.
The Eye in front of you, Gige, as you are momentarily blinded, extremely momentarily.
Yeah.
When you blink and your eyes are open again, the Eye is just gone.
Yeah, she dusted him, like she do.
It's no longer there, and Zelnihiroth is exhibiting the bad symptoms of being hit by a lightning bolt, which is scarring and general slightly being on fireness, continuing from the firefighters.
He already was on fire, and then he got hit by a magical rocket launcher and then a lightning bolt.
I have to ask the important question. Is there a cartoon beholder skeleton inside him as the lightning hits him?
Yes, it is just a skull.
Okay.
It has lots of teeth. These teeth are very pointy, and it has a one eye socket. And then a bunch of little vertebra going up to a bunch of other little tiny eyes.
Now I'm fascinated by the idea of a beholder skull.
Well, if we kill him, we can tear him apart and look
at him. It's like a Pac-Man with little Pac-Man coming off of it.
If we kill him, we can cut him apart and look at his insides.
Yes.
I've been listening to a lot of serial killer podcasts lately. This is feeling familiar.
Super weird.
Yes.
No, you and my mom would get along. My mom loves that stuff.
Okay. It is Sarhael's turn, as Eden has just fried some fools. Sariel, you were recently thrown against a wall. Now between you and the entrance is just a floor strewn with iron balls and a bunch of kobolds, like stacked up SWAT style against a doorway.
I'm kind of tempted to see if I can get him with the thorn again, but I'd want to maybe pair up with someone else to make it more effective. So I guess I'll start my turn by just moving forward to the rest of the group. Like, maybe...
Yeah, just take a seat in the pile of dead sleepy eyes. It's nice and warm in here.
Oh, jeez, no.
There's some blue ichor.
I'm gonna hang out over here by Iria and Eden.
Not all the flesh is hardened yet, so you can get some soft spots to rest on.
Dude.
Geesh, your boots are starting to be covered in purple goo.
That's fine. I accept this.
I'm trying to figure out where he is exactly, because I'm actually not sure I can shoot the thorn that far.
I am almost positive you can.
Yeah, 55 I can hit. I think it has a range of 60 feet.
But you might have a better option for just a standard like ranged attack. I'm not sure, though. I actually haven't looked at your spells.
I can incite bugs at him. Oh my gosh, I could incite bugs to like climb in his eyes. That would be terrible.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I don't know how
the bugs can reach him, but some jumping spiders.
Maybe some wasps?
Oh my god, that would be terrible. But then there would be wasps down here with us. I don't know if I'm down for that.
They're your friends.
True, the kobolds probably eat them.
True.
I want all of this.
I like the idea of spiders swarming into his eyes.
Oh, jeez. He's floating, though. So is amazing. No, I guess spiders could drop down from the ceiling.
Oh, so my god. It depends on do you want to use incite bugs or summon your spider swarm? Because the spider swarm would have a lot of trouble actually attacking him. But incite bugs is just like whatever bugs are around are going to come bother him.
I think I'm going to do incite bugs.
Yes.
Finally.
I'm trying to think of how to roleplay this because it's not something I use a lot of. Sariel's just going to be like, this is absurd. We've got to get him to blink. Bugs in your eyes suck. Let's do that.
Okay. Roll it.
Sariel rolled a 7.
I like that it just says bugs! Exclamation point.
Rules Corner, her bug spell is actually Frostbite, just reskinned to be natural damage, and still does the same thing, which is 2d6 damage, and if they don't save against a DC 14 con save, which he did not, it does damage, and then also makes him do everything the next turn at disadvantage, because distracted by bugs in your face.
Excellent.
Zanaharoth does not save, takes 7 damage as a bunch of like little moths and various spiders swinging down from the ceiling, like Zorro style.
little bandanas over their head.
Yes. Come bother him and get in his eye. And you hear him screaming, "Arr, ah! What is this?"
Not so resplendent now.
Anyway, it is Geesh's turn.
Okay. This is lovely. I like this. I like that this has happened.
Hold on. Sorry. I feel real bad.
It's happening, isn't it?
You can do a legendary? Okay, go for it. Is he going to warp reality? Is that what's happening?
The creatures that are now pooling at your feet begin to lash out. The tendrils from the melting flesh begin to wrap up around Geesh's, Iria's, and Sten's legs.
I knew there was something coming. That was too easy.
Roll a DC 16 strength save.
Wow, 16. Not kidding around with this.
Oh, Sten rolled a 14 strength save. I slipped in the goop and I couldn't get any leverage.
Geesh rolled an 11. I assume I also had trouble getting my footing with all the gross monster blood on the ground.
Indeed. And Iria?
I roll wisdom, right?
Nope, strength.
Oh, yeah. I rolled a 7 again.
Okay, all three of you take 19 necrotic damage.
18 or 19?
19. As dark tendrils of this fleshy pulp erupt around you and get all up in your business.
Ugh.
You, like right up in the business?
Up in your business.
So close to the business. It's very uncomfortable.
I'm gonna need a shower really bad.
Bruh.
That's just awful.
And you cannot take reactions until the end of your next turn.
Wait, so are they alive or is this just like sort of an after effect? Like are they still doing their thing or?
This is an after effect. These things clearly die down. And I will remove the ones that bothered you with this.
So because
bothered me, that's a nice way of euphemism there.
So because the corpses have acted like a trap, they're no longer in play?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Visually, for you guys, they're still there, but they're now less animated and less, like, wiggly.
Right.
Whereas just, the other ones remain wiggly.
It's just the evil spirits within them attacking us. Mm-hmm. Is it my turn now?
Yes. Guige, now that you've seen what happens, your tactical mind looks out and realizes that there's one more still in your way.
What? No, I can go around it.
You can't get around it without triggering it. It will be able to be within 5 feet of you.
Ah, okay. I'm going to... Let me make sure I'm doing this right. I'm going to try and cast... I think now that he's not looking at me, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Sacred Radiance. Can I cast it through two targets or just only one target?
As these things are not targets as opposed and are instead hazards, I'm okay with that.
Okay, so I'm going to cast Sacred Radiance that way to try and hit the two.
Okay. Roll a wisdom save. It's 15 to hit both, 10 to hit one.
16, so I hit both.
Nice. Guige uses his turn to turn his shield on these two piles of goop that were recently shredded by Sariel's explosive wood grenade, and they are illuminated for a moment. They release quite a bit of smoke, and then they cease to move.
And now I'm going to use Action Surge, so I have a second action.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to use my movement, and how far do I move? I move 30 feet, right? Sten, yep. Sten's the one who moves more than 30 feet. Yeah, I move 30 feet.
Yep, he's a speedy boy.
He's got them hot legs, and I imagine Sten wearing
yes
leggings.
Booty shorts.
Yes. Oh my.
And I'm going to throw the grasping vine at Zemnaroth. Okay. I want to pin him down. I want to cut off that green eye and make him feel better. What do I click?
Hold on.
Okay.
When you have the random spells, I just need to look them up because I don't have them all on the thing.
Right. I mean, you want me to click the Warden's Bow because it does a grasping vine?
No, it's different.
Okay. We can pin this guy down. He's going to have tons of good information. We just have to remove his...
We're going to pin down the beholder?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going non-lethal in this fight. That's impressive.
Well, I mean, the greatest danger of the beholder is his eye and his mobility. If he's stuck to the ground and covered in spiders and moving disadvantage, I think we can at least cut off that pea that's interloping on his brain. Conjure vine that sprouts from the ground in an unoccupied space of your choice that you can see within range. When you cast the spell, you can direct the vines to lash out a creature within 30 feet that you can see. The creature must succeed on a dexterity saving throw or be pulled 20 feet directly toward the vine. Until the spell ends, you can direct the vine to lash out at the same creature or another one as a bonus action on each of your turns.
Okay, cool. Wherever you throw this egg is where this vine is going to sprout from, and then it's going to be under your control.
So they said it can reach 20 feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So let's... And where would be a really good spot to tie him up? I'm going to tie him up here. Wedge him under... Because these are two big metal beams, right?
The beams that you see there are partially petrified wood, partially iron rivets and the like.
Good. I want my vines to pull him in there and just like wedge him all up in it. So even if he does have a chance to get out of the vines, it's just horribly awkward for him.
Okay. So that's going to be a DC 14 dex save he's going to make against that.
Ah, darn.
He rolls a 16 and manages to scoot away.
No. Roll it again. He's at disadvantage, James.
Why is he at disadvantage?
Because he's got bugs all over his face.
He's right.
Oh, good call. Thank you for reminding me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
He rolls a 7 this time and is ensnared by this vine erupting from this petrified wood as Guige throws a disgusting spider egg at it.
Guige will shout, cut off the green eye!
Iria, you're up. As you see and hear Guige sprint forward, hurling an egg into this pile of ancient machinery, which grows up in a vine-type form and starts wrapping around this eye as it tries to sort of strain against this vine's anchor point.
Do I need to roll a wisdom save? Am I still scared?
You are still frightened.
Darn.
You will save at the end of your turn.
Oh, okay. But wait, so the effects are that I don't want to get near it? I don't want to get near the beholder?
Actually, did you act? No, you acted before the beholder, so... Now it's your turn. Okay. So, yes, you cannot move towards the beholder. Any action you take against the beholder is at disadvantage.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, fear isn't good.
Yeah. In that case, because I'm afraid...
Actually, do you mind if I elaborate on this a little bit?
I don't mind.
In Iria's mind's eye, you see this beholder in front of you, and it's scary. Yeah, sure. But once this vine starts reaching onto it, it starts to take the shape of a dragon made out of plants that you remember from way back, and it's, you know, it wants to eat you. And
no,
as far as you know, it's kind of unstoppable.
But what? This is bad. She's like yelling and screaming like, ah, no, this is really bad. And then she runs over to the cannons.
Grab one of the cannons. It's incredibly empowering.
Yeah, she runs over to the cannons. So that's, let's see, to run over to the cannons and then to run.
It's so if I run 10 feet back to the cannons.
Okay, and then can I move back to where I was, or can I not move any closer again?
You can certainly move back to where you were, as long as you're not holding a cannon.
Well, can I hold a cannon if I drink my strength potion?
Oh, yeah, probably. I was going to say, there's no way you could hold a cannon unless you drink a strength potion.
I'm drinking my strength potion because I'm scared and I must get stronger.
Okay. Iria, you use your bonus action to quaff a strength potion. The liquid goes down your gullet. It burns a little bit. Eden and Sten and Sariel, out of the corner of your eye, you see Iria run up to a, you know, 8 foot long, 8 inch wide barrel, like tube made of iron, and just picks it up with her bare hands, pulls it off with no effort, what you saw Sten struggling with, and takes it back to where she was.
Wow. Jaw meet floor.
And I grab a ball.
Okay. As this was bonus action, drink potion, standard action, pick up a thing, the rest of your move action to get back to where you were, you now have a second cannon lined up on this thing, but you cannot fire it yet.
Okay.
It is uncanny to see this very slight elf just like manhandling this very large piece of machinery.
Elves, man.
I must kill it all.
Make a wisdom save to see if you're still afraid or if this cannon has reassured you.
I rolled a 15.
That saves.
I told you that would be empowering.
Oh, I feel better now. This is nice. She like pats the cannon. This is really nice.
Now that you've got a +9 strength, you're all right.
Everything will be fine. I'll kill them all.
No, we want to talk to it. He shouts back.
Kill!
Okay. The kobolds are up next, and you know the beholder is about to act after this. Do you want the kobolds to act on any type of instruction?
Who are you asking?
Anyone. The only one who yelled instructions so far is Geesh.
Kill them all!
Alright. Anyone else?
Please don't kill them all.
Don't die.
I'm gonna blow
You're
them
all
up.
Adorable.
Stay safe.
That one. Don't die one.
Okay.
But also murder while you're not dying, ideally. But in that order of priority.
All right. The creatures get up on your business. Crashing Tide, the blue-scaled kobold, runs up next to Iria and places its claws on your back as you are, like, manhandling this cannon, like, popping some veins, looking real hardcore,
yeah.
And casts Cure Wounds on you.
Whoa, nice!
You receive 7 HP from that. Guiding Wind flies out of the door and positions itself above the beholder, flying up about 30 feet, skimming the ceiling, and dives at the beholder.
Okay, aiming, this is going against my not dying advice.
Aiming specifically for the corrupted eye, rolling a 24.
You can do a Guiding Wind!
And dealing 17 piercing damage.
These are kind of awesome.
The stalk that has the corrupted eye on it is cut almost nearly in half and is now hanging off by like a pathetic scrap of flesh, but is still thrashing about.
No.
I don't like where this is going.
Crash.
Life Tender appears behind Sten, crawls up your back, and pulls out something out of one of its bags and thrusts it over your nose like someone trying to ether someone.
Okay, I'm rolling with it. I breathe deeply of his assault.
As you breathe deeply, you receive 8 HP. You feel stimulated. You feel like nothing can stop you.
Nice. Oh, I gotta
like
get some of that.
Someone just dosed you.
Oh, hell yeah. doing coke and I've got a cannon. Things are looking up.
Firekeeper fires a sling, misses. Bonecaster runs forward, slings as well, misses. Well, they're not missing, they're just like scraping off this large creature. And Groundshaker also does the same. And these small, sharp stones merely glance off of its flesh.
I really respect Guiding Wind's bravery, but I'm worried for him.
I'm incredibly worried for him.
This is feeling like a Decker Cost situation.
Hopefully not. Zelnihiroth's turn, who is going to direct his gaze towards the party, but Gija's somewhat outside of that gaze, and you are going to be the subject of two eye rays.
I'm doing it. Let's go. I can take it.
I believe you. Let's do this thing.
Saloon will find me in the darkness.
Oh, you're going to live. You're just going to be really f***ed up.
I want you to make a DC 14 Constitution save and a DC 14 Wisdom save.
Does it need to roll disadvantage for any of these?
No, this is its next okay. turn.
So it's what and what?
Actually, I'm sorry. No, you get to roll advantage on these as it's still trying to get bugs out of its eyes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what am I rolling?
DC 14 Con and DC 14 Wisdom.
I critically succeeded my Constitution save with 25. With my Wisdom save, I only rolled an 11.
Hmm. So you feel one eye press against you, your muscles start to seize up, but you manage to just tough your way through, like you keep running through it, it doesn't matter. But as you're doing this, you look towards it, and it becomes terrifying. Your bravery leaves you. Though you've forced your body to do what you want, your mind will not. You are now feared.
Is there really no perk for that critical success?
I am trying to think of something for it, because I don't want it to make you succeed on the other thing, because that was a completely separate attack.
Are there typically critical successes or failures with saving throws?
Not really. It's just something I like to throw in if I can think of something good.
I was going to say maybe by sheer will I overcome the fear.
You're definitely going to have an advantage on your next check against the fear.
Okay. I don't know then.
I'm going to say this. Okay, here's your choice. You can make... This critical success can make you choose the target of its next eye ray attack. You or the kobold.
Oh, me. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
The next... Man, it is not choosing its good attacks.
Yeah, this thing has, like, death rays and stuff, right? Like, yeah. Disintegration. Yeah.
Disintegration, it is its real good times attack. It rolls a 6 again. Gij, roll a DC 14 strength save.
At advantage.
No, not at advantage, because you are now feared. You have disadvantage against everything, so
even though
you balance out to normal. Is
so
what
you said
do.
DC 14 strength, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, let me do it. Roll the 21.
Nice. As you have overcome this.
I would like to say, even though Gij is pretty scared, he's like growling back at Zelnihiroth, I'm the best at getting my ass kicked.
As
that's Sariel.
She may be the worst at getting her ass kicked. Gij, as a telekinesis ray hits you, you start to float up in the air, but thank goodness you can control your limbs because you've managed to grab onto a rod emitting from this pile of rubble. And Zelnihiroth, at the end of this turn, is going to attempt to free himself at disadvantage.
Oof.
It is not going to free itself from the vine, as it's still got bugs climbing up this vine.
Excellent use of bugs.
And then it is going to no longer be bugged, because it manages to get rid of that by blinking and chomping its teeth, mostly. Okay, Sten, you're up.
All right, so let's see. I can't run through these. Are these obstacles, these thingy-dingies?
So that is a big pile of debris, which is rough terrain. So you would have to take double distance on those.
Okay, I think I can run around it anyway, because I'm incredibly fast.
But you are.
So yeah, I'm gonna drop my cannon, be like, that was fun while it lasted, but it's time to cut something off. And zip over there super fast, legs a-blazing, and I'm gonna take a swing at that, the green stalk, as it were.
Okay, so you're raging now?
Yes, I will try, can I?
Yes. You run for the first 20 feet, get behind Gij, get out of its eyes' gaze range, and then your body ignites all of a sudden, like, it's... If it was in slow motion, you could see the line at which it ignites.
That's a really good visual, actually.
Because you were pissed.
And also very excited by that cannon. So it's sort of a happy rage, almost.
Yay.
But so I'm going to do some severing, so I'm going to bring out...
Penitent?
The sword.
No, use my sword.
Or the random sword that Geesh gave you.
Oh, right, I have a random sword. Wait.
Yeah, Penitent.
Wait, where is... I don't think I have it in my character sheet, actually. I don't, but I do have one.
I gave you my previous sword, so you wouldn't have to keep using the cursed sword.
Yeah, you did.
So that's like the regular sword. One,
yeah.
And then minus all your magic bonuses.
Was that a great sword that you gave me? It wasn't a great sword, was it?
No, it was a regular long sword, so it's 1d8.
Okay, it's 1d8, and it'll just be plus... Wait, I forget how proficiency works. Do I have proficiency in a long sword? Is it just swords? How does this work again?
Yes, you have proficiency.
Yeah. Okay. So it's going to be +7, right? Yeah. Because that's a +1. Yeah, sorry. I'm going to roll my sledgehammer like attack then, because I think that's the same thing.
Okay.
Well, I rolled a 12. Very exciting.
So as you are blazing, speeding over towards this creature, swinging down towards this eye, you do not hit. And in addition to not hitting, you get legendary actioned.
Oh, no. Fair enough.
But doesn't Sten multi-attack, though, like me?
I do.
Yes, but this is stopping him before he does his second one. Dang it. it uses its fear ray against you. I wish I could choose these rays, but then it would be way too deadly. So make a wisdom save, DC 14.
Craig, hang on a second. I need to correct something. How much does that guy heal me for? Shoot.
7?
I think he healed me for... I'll just say 7. I know that. I think that might be the low end, but
It was life tender. He gave you...
They've got pretty weak T heals.
I'm going to go with 7. I don't think that's too high. I accidentally mouse wheeled my hit points. That was awesome. Sorry. So wisdom.
And check.
Ooh, do you I rolled a 20 in wisdom. Not critical, but 20.
Aren't you immune to like getting anything happening to you while you're raging?
Right. Yes, I am immune to fear. Yes.
Heck. Oh, well. Well, that was a bad decision on Zelnaheroth's
part. He didn't know. It made sense.
I would like to say that Zelnaheroth's eye stalk that shoots disintegrate is just like tied against his body by a vine.
Yes, exactly. The death ray and the disintegrate ray are just like tied to its body. So the green eye lurches towards you and stares a moment, but gets sort of caught up in the other eye stalks before it can do anything. And also, Sten isn't paying attention to that nonsense.
Okay, well, that didn't work. I'm going to try to attack again. That's better. This time was a 26. but it's not a sledgehammer, so the damage is, what, 1d8 plus 6, I think?
Yes. So, Sten, you lash down with 12 damage? 13 damage?
I think 13.
With 13 damage, severing the stalk from Zelnaheroth's head. And the stalk lands on the ground. You can see that, like, you really kind of bit deep and got most of this scar tissue-y, weird, flesh-growy, purplish flesh off of its head. And while it is bleeding and severely bruised from, like, a cannon injury and a lot of flame, Zelnaheroth looks up at you. Your flame immediately extinguishes, but it says,
"Thank goodness you have freed me! We must flee this place!"
Oh, so we're cool now?
That yes, actually we worked? Are cool.
All right.
You may be my servants. We must flee.
Okay, well, I'm cool.
Am I still afraid, James?
Right as this happens, the fear goes away as Zelnaheroth stops being real scary and starts being kind of a ham and like is no longer vigorously trying to escape the tendril. But just sort of like generally annoyedly gnawing at it.
Right.
As it talks.
Is the thing we cut off, is it still moving?
Oh, yeah.
Can you clarify that? Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to run over and just bathe it in sacred radiance.
Well, no, I mean, are we still like in combat or is it like...
No, nope. We're not in combat.
Oh, okay.
The last active target has been un-enemyified.
At least temporarily.
The eye, as it slaps against the ground and Zelnaheroth begins ignoring it, Geesh comes over and bathes it in light as it starts to like turn into almost a worm with an eye at the end and starts like inchworming away and destroys it into smoke.
Clap, 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 clap.
Geesh will shout back, "It's okay, he's not as evil now."
Yes, I am resplendent. I am wonderful. You should bow before me.
No, probably not.
It matters we put not. A pin we in must this? Flee.
Yeah, okay. Let's discuss the whole subservient relationship later, but where are we fleeing to exactly?
Away into the Underdark. My lair resides there.
Oh, great. Anyone else at your lair?
Many servants served me, but this was eons ago.
He's all well, alone.
We kind of need to go kill the thing that was attacking you.
You are mad, and they call my species mad.
Yeah, yep. I mean, we spared you. We could have just killed you. I mean, it's quite a mad thing to do, isn't it?
Roll a persuade. as Iria comes out, and it is sort of looking between Iria and Gige, it says to you guys,
did you stab me in the back?
Wait, she's looking at Iria?
No. Iria has to think really hard about this.
I remember it clearly. You stabbed me in the back.
Me?
Did you run into this guy before, Iria?
Oh man, I thought we were going to be able to become friends.
As you say this, it looks to you, Gish, and says, you stood in front of me. You distracted me as I was slain.
Oh.
What?
Huh?
Is he crazy?
Were you a dwarf once?
I was never a dwarf. I was always Zilnihiroth, the Reborn, the Resplendent.
Yep, okay.
Oh, it's okay. So he has echoes of memories from the Green Eye Beast. So Zilnihiroth, the Reborn, the Resplendent, we're very willing to cut you free and let you go back to your lair and be friends. Allies? Frenemies? Not enemies.
Your lord. That is all I will accept.
Sure, okay.
Just let him have it. That's fine.
But we'd like to talk to you about the Green-Eyed Beast that was controlling your resplendent body, as we do need to go fight it.
The Great Eye from beyond that consumes all.
Yes.
Yep.
Where is it exactly? The source of it?
It resides in a Great Eye, a great portal.
Yeah, where's the portal?
It extends one eye stalk in a direction and the rest are just sort of doing their own thing. But like,
that's awesome. Sten,
you recognize that like Moop is like, yeah, it's that way.
Can you tell us like what the building looks like? I'm sure as a beholder, you know infinite wisdoms about what these buildings are.
Let me see.
Gish also will use his right hand and motion everyone else, mainly Eden and Sarl over. And he's got his right hand behind Sten.
Can Sten ask the beholder a question?
Yes, but let me answer the first one. When you ask where this portal is, it responds and says,
it is in what used to be the Mason's Guild.
That is very good information. Like, I see you are very wise as your reputation precedes you.
I am ageless.
Okay.
Cool.
Kind of a non sequitur. I have a beholder question.
Yes, servant. Ask of me your mundane questions.
Yes, my lord friend. How do you sleep?
We like, do not sleep. Sleep is for lesser beings. My eye never closes.
Oh, that's disappointing. I was just imagining, like, either the answer of you sleeping in midair, like, snoring away, or being, like, a little ball resting on the ground would have been fantastic, but...
As he's right, saying this, he blinks.
Ah! I'll find out someday the truth.
Do Eden and Sariel want to get closer and start asking him questions? I don't want to hog up all the cool beholder time.
What's the answer to the meaning of life?
I am the meaning of life. All things revolve around me.
Somehow that's the answer I expected. All right, well, sorry for wasting your time.
You are wise, female human.
Oh, I know. It's okay, you don't have to tell me.
Sariel.
No, I got nothing. If Sariel's doing anything right now, it would be casting the Helios on Gige, but I can wait for those rolls.
By the way, I just gotta say, I've just googled sleeping beholder, and I'm really disappointed that there's no pictures of, like, beholders, like, resting peacefully on the ground, like, kind of rolling around. They would roll off the bed all the time. Anyway, carry on.
No, they would if I were a beholder and I had to sleep, I would have some sort of egg carton-type cup constructed for me to sleep in.
Yeah.
Like a small nest.
Because otherwise, even a slight incline on the floor...
Yeah, they would have a nest. Anyway, yeah. Gige will motion to Iria and point to his hand to the ring, saying, like, come here, bring your ring over here.
I'm sorry, I don't want to make that commitment yet.
What?
She winks at him.
What?
Do you want to look at it?
No, we can ask him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's so wise.
She I'm just sure shoulders he's... the cannon and, like, walks over. Like, it's some big, like, weapon that she nonchalantly carrying and...
You are holds... a very powerful human. Oh, you are an elf. It is hard to tell you only have small differences.
That's true. I sometimes feel a little more human than elf anyway. But yes, I am powerful. Powerful!
Yes, anyway, we are both powerful.
Yes. Okay.
Should we be worried?
She holds her ring aloft and says, "Do you know, oh powerful lord and friend, the many-eyed, what this is?"
It looks down at you after laughing and is like,
"Oh, clearly you are not as wise as you are powerful as I am."
I am not very wise, I have to admit.
It looks down at your ring.
This is a ring of elemental absorption.
Cool.
It will allow you to protect yourself from any of the average elements and be able to throw them back at your foes.
Cool. She puts okay. it on.
Well, I'm about willing to let you go as long as you don't, as long as you promise
you
not to eat.
Willing to let me go? I will slay you.
It bites at you.
Ah!
Gish will tap where he would have a nose with the flat end of his sword.
Oh god, he's actually biting at you.
Oh, he is biting at me. Son of a gun. Okay, I'm gonna parry.
He does not hit as your AC is higher than 16.
Okay. I'm like, hey,
all right,
cut
everyone,
it out.
Let's just part amicably, my lord.
Iria's just like, it's a phrase used often amongst friends when they
friends?
Feel like they. Yeah,
you are Lord friends. Lord friends. Friends.
Lord friends, yes. Lord.
Would you rather we take turns attacking you right now? No. I think we are friends. And
I
we can
could
go our
destroy
separate ways.
You in a moment. You are blessed that I was under the thrall of that evil entity.
Hey, guys, we know. And we thank you for your benevolence, oh kind and great sir.
Yes. Sten will bow to this ridiculous creature.
Eden will Iria. Ridiculously curtsy to this ridiculous creature in this ridiculous situation.
Geesh flares his nostrils and takes off his hat as a mock sign of respect.
Wait, is Iria, what was I going for? Oh,
Iria
yeah, respectfully deadlifting.
No, Iria deadlifts the cannon and just goes, powerful!
You guys get along really well.
Yes.
Well...
Zelna Haroth seems mollified by your displays of respect.
Zelna Haroth, before we part ways, would you mind telling us if you have any insights on how to destroy that beast so that it will never attack anyone, even someone as great as you?
It is beyond destruction to one such as you. I will go below to think of a way to destroy it.
Okay. Is there a way you can tell us when you come to your answer?
Of course. Merely pledge yourself to me, and I will know where you are at all times.
Gige looks at everyone else, but not feeling that idea.
Daryl perks up a little. No.
I would certainly rather not.
Do you have maybe, like, some scrolls of sending you can use?
Me?
No, I'm asking Zelna Haroth.
Zelna Haroth spits in your face, just like this big glop of ichor. It has, like a little bit of green blood in it, and it says,
there is your scroll! Lick it when you think of me.
Oh my god, he's so weird. We need to let this guy go. This is messed up.
Geesh sidesteps. And he's like, wait, are you for real?
It just stares at you for a moment.
Okay. I'll grab a vial and scoop up his patooey.
I'm gonna be honest, I assumed that was just him spitting on us, but maybe that was real. But I like that we're taking it seriously.
No one needs an insight roll. Its mouth like twists up into a big smile as soon as Geesh starts doing that.
Ew. Next time a creepy guy asks for my number, that's what I'll do. Just spit on him.
You spit
lick
on him and tell him to look
think
it.
Of me. There is your number. No, I'm just kidding. I don't like spitting. I mucus and like spit is one of the grossest things to me.
All right. Usual motion to Gaiduin and be like, get up the kobolds just in case he tries anything.
He begins mustering them and sending them further along the path, and they start to scout around, almost advancing like a tactical team, one advancing and then waving the other ones forward as they advance into the darkness away from you.
All right. I guess, should I just start cutting them loose and Sten, you just be ready in case he tries anything funny?
Yeah.
Oh, He's already loose, by the way. Like, he's managed to worm himself out of your thing.
Oh, okay. No, but what's right. real? Like, if I, like, does this really allow me to talk to you? He holds up the file.
It looks over at Iria.
Your servant is very dull in the head.
Ha ha ha.
I like how Irian knows that. There's like a connection here. It's fantastic.
I respect your strength.
I respect your wisdom.
We would make great allies. We should conquer the Underdark together.
I'm not ready for that sort of commitment yet.
Are you not ready for many slaves? Much plunder.
I'm a pretty independent, I'll say. Sometimes, you know, they just keep you down sometimes, you know what I'm saying?
You were right. Sometimes you must murder all your slaves to be free.
Yes!
I really want to cast Sacred Radiance in his face.
No, we need to move on. He's still got a disintegration ray.
This is fun.
Keesh sighs and says, well, be well, Zil-Nihiroth, the Reborn and the Resplendent.
Sten will chant, the Reborn, the Resplendent.
I will fare well, despite your wishes.
What? But I just wish...
He's just an ass. Just let him go. He's not going to be nice.
Keesh shakes his head.
How much this guy vexes Keesh.
Keesh shakes his head and starts walking away.
How dare you turn your back on me?
No.
I turn my back on you.
Keesh turns around and says, no, you! No, you 100 times.
Oh my god.
And there he goes.
And then he spits in his direction.
No!
Oh no.
Okay, Geesh, how obvious were you being?
With my spit?
Mm-hmm.
Not terrible, though. I don't think I'm a pro spitter like him.
Okay, I want you to roll a stealth against his perception.
Stealth spit.
Which, I'm sorry to tell you, beholder perception is pretty good.
As one might imagine.
Well, I'm sure his new friend will, like, step in and start to discourage him. I rolled a 24 in stealth.
Nice.
The various waving eye stalks, none of them appear to see your tiny, insignificant spit compared to its own.
That's fine. I'm not a giant floating head, so yeah, my spit's not going to compare to his.
Mm-hmm. But the head begins to float off into the darkness.
Oh, thank God.
That guy. We do him a solid, and he just can't be nice for a second.
I think he's just an asshole. That's just how he is.
I kind of want to chop off more of those eye stalks just to bring him, just to humble him up.
Look, it's over. He's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the worst of it. Oof, okay. That was an ordeal.
Okay, should we take a short rest here? Have the kobolds like given us the signal that this place is secure?
Yes. Crashing Tide comes back. Its blue tinted scales and hisses at you and does a various like hand signs and then sort of like turns around and hisses into the distance and you hear Guiding Wind shout,
"This area is clear."
Okay, you guys want to take a short rest since we got it banged up a little bit?
Yeah, sounds good.
And then Iria can go crazy looking for treasure in here because I'm pretty sure she'll find something cool.
Ha ha ha.
I'm gonna take one of those cannons.
Would you cut that out?
Like how bothered Geesh is by the holder.
Look, man, he's not nice. He's not nice, and he can, like, I'm pretty sure if we roughed him up some, he would be nicer.
I think he would be, I'm getting the impression that guy is just a jerk all the way to the end.
You can befriend
down.
People, or you can kill them, or you can rough them up until they realize they should be your friend.
Are those the only options?
Yeah, those are the only options.
I'm going to try deadlifting or weightlifting Sten.
But you're into like powerlifting now? One cannon and you didn't even fire the cannon. It was just so exciting to hold it.
I know. Yeah,
I will certainly allow myself to be deadlifted.
Iria deadlifts you, no problem. Just like lifts you up above her head with all your gear as well.
Elves are amazing. Sariel, can you do this too?
Maybe if I was a bear.
All right, fair enough.
I want to lift a bear.
I like the idea that this potion has addled your mind slightly. Rather than the recovery from the fear combined with the onset of strength. Yeah.
So do you want to bring that can along with us as far as we can, Sten, and then show it to Street Meat?
Yes. How plausible is it for me to carry one of these things, James?
Very implausible. Like, it took a ton of effort, and you were all adrenalined up when you were, like, moving it around a room and aiming it with, like, one side of it on the ground.
Is there a window around here?
So, one edge of this area is open to the larger cavern. And
it's a cliff
one thing you might be worried about is this... thing has just been screaming into the darkness for the last like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Along so with Iria.
Dragon could come up the cavern.
Yes, but the dragon could not fit inside this area unless it was squeezing, which would not be a good tactical position for it.
Iria carries the cannon over towards the window that's facing the canyon.
They're not so much windows as large areas between pillars of open air.
It's a cliff face. It's like a cave they've carved into the side of the cavern wall.
Okay, so she starts positioning, because she doesn't know how long the potion will last, she starts positioning the cannons towards the cliff face, like the drop, just in case anything comes up.
That's a good idea. I like that idea.
Okay, do you just like wedge them up against things so they're pointed up and down and in various directions?
Yeah, like where something could potentially try to come in and bring fire at us.
All right. Do you want to do that while you're doing the short rest or take the short rest first?
I want to do it immediately because I don't know how long the potion will last.
Okay. And Eden tells you, because she, in the last session, Eden, sorry, you handed her this potion and she said this is
strength.
A potion of giant strength.
It was
strength.
A strength. Think, it was a strength thing. End.
Yes.
And it should last for about an hour.
Cool.
So you guys set up this cannon defense perimeter and take a short rest. You guys are now in the craft halls, and you've dealt with Zelnehirath the Reborn. Good job.
Resplendent.
Yes. I shouldn't have cut off his name so early. But you guys can take a short rest and decide when you want to head on, or if you want to do anything in this area.
I also want to just look around for cool, expensive shinies.
That will, once you start looking around slash moving on, that will be the beginning of the skills challenge.
Okay.
But while you're taking your short rest, you can talk to people, and you can do anything minor involving the area immediately around you.
Can I chat with the kobolds?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Gij will also ask Guiding Wind if Life Tender would mind helping him with his wounds, because Gij is still a little banged up.
As you ask about this, you see Life Tender hiss and, like, nod its head and then look sideways and then, like, bristle its quills under its mossy mask. And Guiding Wind looks to you and says,
Life Tender has used almost all of his medication on the one you call Sten.
Okay.
Sorry. I didn't ask for it. He kind of like actually assaulted me with it.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Gij will just patch himself up then as he can.
Hey, Guiding Wind, that dive bomb thing you did was pretty cool.
I am blessed among my people to have these.
And he gestures over his back, pointing to the wings.
Yeah, I thought those were just for show. Pretty nifty.
No, they are fully functional, but I am no elder dragonkin. Given time and experience, I aspire to be one.
What does that mean? Do they get, like, bigger over time or something?
If my accomplishments warrant it, I will undergo the ritual to become a white ancient.
Fascinating.
I will be the sky. I will be the wind.
Cool.
That sounds pretty neat.
It is neat.
I like him. He's got a sense of humor. You guys know any games? Do you play any games? How do you guys become friends with each other? Let me in on that friend thing.
We are not friends. We are colleagues.
I feel like you might be a little bit of friends.
Gij will tap Sten's shoulder and be like, friendships can form over meals. And he'll point at the piles of dead, sleepy monster meat.
There are actually no sleepy monster meat. There are a couple piles where it was like lashing around for a minute and then like the stuff you didn't actually deal with, but then it goes quiet and then eventually just like pools out to the point where it's just like an oil slick on the ground with some skulls.
So yeah, eating's out. Do you guys play any games or anything like that? What do you do to pass the time? You read? Chant?
Those who are educated read. Those who are religious chant. Those who want to play games. Generally, we imitate the hunt.
Guiding Wind like looks over at Firekeeper and does some gestures slash hisses at him, and then Firekeeper immediately goes to all fours and like starts scurrying up the wall and like running away. And Guiding Wind flaps its wings and starts like chasing him real hard with his mouth open.
Can I say that when Iria's like walking back and forth, moving the cannons around, but when she hears this, She tries to go into stealth as best she can and, like, crouches down and wiggles her butt like a cat and then, like, runs at Sten.
Yes. Roll a stealth. And Sten, it's against your passive perception, I assume. Unless Sten was expecting this.
I was definitely not expecting this.
I rolled a 10.
Not enough. My passive perception is a 14.
It's actually the fault that Iria, you are too strong right now. And as you attempt to step lightly, you stomp. And you, like, shatter the stone a little bit underneath your feet. And you look down, seeing this little web of cracks spreading away from your foot.
Oh god, friendship is coming! Well, Sten is already thinking of joining the game they were playing. So he'll just run away. But, like, in a joyous manner. Imitating the kobolds. And being pursued.
Groundshaker chases you.
By a ferociously strong elf.
Iria, do you join Chase?
Yes, I'm going to play tag with them.
All right.
Hunt.
Sten, as the Chase E, Groundshaker, and Iria are going to compete athletics to catch you.
Uh-oh.
Do I have a bonus with... Oh, it's... Wait, do I have a bonus now with my drink?
Your bonus is not... What did you roll?
Athletics? I rolled a 10. Yeah.
Your athletics is plus 4? Are you proficient in athletics?
I have a 4.
Yeah, that's probably wild. Proficient. Normally rogues are not as good at athletics as that.
I didn't make it, so
Is there a checkbox next to it? Or like a check next to it?
It is. Actually. I must have given it to you. Okay, because I knew you would be climbing at some point, so I wanted to give you athletics.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, at any rate, it doesn't beat my 12, but Groundshaker does.
Because of your potion, that is actually a plus...
Oh, crap.
13.
Well, they catch me.
So it's higher.
So I got a plus 13 to my 10? Or a
yes.
plus... Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, you've got a plus 13 to your...
6?
6.
Okay.
Look, you both beat 20... me. We don't need to quibble over the 19. Details.
Yes.
Iria, like, pounces on you and slams you to the ground right before a Groundshaker catches up.
It's supposed to be a rest!
And Iria, it's like, you definitely thought you were being gentle, but, like, it looks painful.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Elves are dangerous. And
yes! And then she jumps up and tries to run up the wall.
You do, like, you know the running up, do the flip behind someone who's chasing you kind of run up the wall business?
Yes.
You do that, but you run like halfway across the ceiling.
Nice!
Before landing.
Yes, I need to invest in more of these. Yes!
He's just going to inspect the other two rooms. Rooms that were up here on the platform.
Oh, okay.
Sariel's going to be like chasing after him. Like, hey, get back here real quick.
What?
You're still injured, right?
I'm mostly okay. I just, I'm like out of character. I'm at 61 of 69. So I've patched myself up.
Okay.
Oh, so this is post short rest.
I suppose.
Have
I
you used any hit die?
Yes.
Okay. So this is like 30 minutes later that you are doing this.
Okay.
Eden, Sariel, are you doing anything?
Sariel will be looking around for anything. Gosh, we're still in like the forge room, the craft room.
This is the craft hall. It is, so far as you can tell, immensely long. And there's just like a number of different areas up here that are all dedicated to building a certain thing. This one appears to be cannons.
Right.
Or as Zelnithroth said as he got hit with one, damn dwarvish stone throwers.
Mm. I want to learn to build birdhouses.
Yes.
Someone show me where that section is.
You're going to have to look for it, because right here it seems to be like they're doing iron.
I could learn to make a catapult, I know that, you know, I have the spell catapult, but, you know, it would be cool to, you know, have a real catapult, just because.
Eden, as you were looking around at these things, and looking down at the runes and sort of putting them together, you're like, oh, this is an item that casts catapult on a much larger object than a person could do without a lot of training.
Oh, fantastic.
But you're fairly sure that they couldn't fire twice without more residuum. You do see a pocket at the bottom that needs loading.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yo! Start to harvest residuum out of all those cannons.
There's going to be residuum in the cannons?
Is that what James not just said?
Do you want to gander for those?
Oh, hell yeah!
Okay. Roll and investigate as you attempt to pull these things out without accidentally triggering them.
Eden rolled an 11 in investigation.
Add 100 gold of residuum.
Yes! Oh, it's nice score!
Pretty difficult to get this stuff out, but you managed to get a fair amount.
Fantastic.
And I'm sure Iria helps you just by, like, you try to open one of these containers yourself, and you're like, this is unopenable, and then Iria comes and, like, flicks it. Just, like, snaps open.
Thanks, so, Iria.
I have an ex-boyfriend who used to break apples in half by gripping them and then slamming them against his chest like some sort of caveman. And I imagine that happening with Iria right now, just slamming the jar against her chest and it just, like, pours out.
Iria's just breaking things, like, even the stuff she doesn't mean to.
So, yeah. Do I peep these other two rooms, James? Do I find cool weapons?
These other two rooms have more cannons in them. When you start looking deeper into that, that's going to be part of your skills challenge.
Okay, cool.
Sorry, El, did you want to be up to anything? We sort of talked over you. Sorry.
No, you're good. I think Sarl would be looking to see if there is a room or an area where there's just templates for all the things that are being made in this hall.
That would be an exceptionally valuable thing to find while you're taking a look around.
And before I botch the roll horribly.
Well, hold on. That sounds like a good thing to do when you're on the search, which if you're ever looking for something specific, like I want a weapon or I want a blueprint to make something crazy, because that would be more valuable than carrying, you know, a single scroll would be much more valuable than carrying, you know, 20,000 gold or something.
Mm-hmm.
Get that knowledge.
But in the meantime, while you're taking this short rest, do you want to talk to anybody? Or shall we move on to the skills challenge?
I'm good with moving on. I don't think there's anybody I want to heckle.
You just look on disapprovingly as these little lizards scoot around and play chase.
Look on adoringly. Aw, they're playing! Sten gets friggin' tackled. They're playing!
Sten just has like a bloody nose as his head like cracks against the ground.
The cost of friendship.
Okay. So this next skills challenge is heading through the craft halls and finding your way to the next safe place. This place is particularly scary because the dragon can pop its head in at any point and mess with you. Although at the deepest points, you're probably safe. There are tons of dwarvish machinery here that could be useful, like the cannons, to actually fight back against the dragon, possibly. Or other things that might be more useful to you in the long run as items. So, all of you, roll initiative as we figure out who goes first in this nonsense.
I don't want to go first.
Nice.
Sten crit with a 21.
Eden rolled a 20.
I rolled a 17.
Woo.
Woo.
Ege rolled a 13 in initiative.
And Sariel rolled a 6 in initiative.
Okay. So, as you guys traverse through the craft halls towards the next safe place, or the next bigger issue you run into, the next Zelnitharoth, how does Sten do one of the four things?
The dragon is not present at the moment, right?
The dragon is present if you want the dragon to be present.
Perhaps
you want to fight back.
I sort of was thinking if I can spot the dragon, I might want to give one of these cannons another go.
That sounds like an excellent way to fight back. Also, just for the first roll that Iria does, you are going to have the bonus of the strength potion still.
Awesome.
So if you do something strength related.
So, I'm going to try to like haul the cannon to the edge and peer around for the dragon. Be like, caw-caw, caw-caw, trying to get its attention. Because, you know, for some reason that would do it.
Okay. So let's up that even to everyone has a cannon, because that's what Iria was doing, was setting them up all on the edge.
All right.
And those are the ones that Eden hasn't quite scraped for residuum yet. And Sten, you are convincing the dragon to come into range with your brilliant bird calls.
Yes.
So is that a survival?
Sure.
What do you think that is?
Animal handling.
I'm into it.
It's sort of animal handling. Dragon's sort of an animal, or I'm treating it as such. All right.
Do you want to tap one of the kobolds for this to help you out?
Yeah. Like, kind of with the power of friendship, make the proper. And I'll start with a caw, and if he does something else, I'll kind of try to imitate that.
Okay, which kobold are you tapping for this?
Well, I guess I'd choose. God, I'm terrible with their names. Wind, Guiding Wind, because he's the most advanced with the wings and everything.
All right. So
wait a second. Wait. No. Mechanically, did you just mean by tapping that he would get killed if something goes wrong?
No. So I'm gonna re-explain this. So all of the kobolds have two skills that they are good at, and if you tap them for a skill you're doing, you get advantage. If you tap them for a skill that they're not good at, you just normal.
Okay. Well, I'll tap.
They
I'll
don't
tap
die him. Unless okay. you don't have anything else to sacrifice.
Gotcha. I'll tap him then. Guiding Wind.
Okay. So roll that at regular, as Guiding All Wind right. next to you looks uncomfortable and flaps his wings a little bit.
Just go with it.
I do not think this will work.
It's going to work. Sten rolling 19.
As the dragon appears in the distance after like a stone shaking roar, Guiding Wind next to you just like mutters under his breath,
"That should not have worked."
And yet, Sten says as he loads in a cannonball.
Okay. So as the dragon is flying incoming, all of you take aim and fire off a number of dwarvish stone throwers in its direction. And at least a couple hit and it wheels away, clearly injured, with one of its wings a little bit crumpled underneath the blasts and roars. And a gout of flame appears in the distance as it just sort of impotently is mad about that and flaps away, landing on the ground somewhere over there.
That was easier than I thought it was going to be.
Dude is never going to hunt birds the same way again.
Does anyone here, has anyone here ever watched SpongeBob ever at all?
Ever? No, I've never watched SpongeBob.
Living human beings that have existed in the 90s and
2000s. Yes.
That's the correct answer. Do you remember the episode where, and I forget the context, but Mr. Krabs... I think he and Plankton switch places, and Mr. Krabs comes into the Krusty Krab, and he's running around naked, and SpongeBob gets behind a cannon, and it starts firing pieces of clothing, and he just yells, "No shirt, no shoes, no service!" And for some reason, that's what I was imagining, that we were just firing, like, articles of clothing.
So yeah,
cannon.
So as that was happening, Eden was in the background jumping up and down going, "No service!"
Nice.
Looking at her cell phone.
Speaking of Eden, you're up.
Oh boy. Is tucking our tail and running an option?
That sounds kind of like a find the way.
I mean, I was mostly joking. I don't actually want to try and flee, at least not right this second.
Yeah, especially with Zelnaharoth nearby. He might mock you.
Oh, that would be the worst.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, now that the dragon is temporarily disabled, if you want to put it that way, I'll let Eve fly around a little bit quickly.
Good thing you have a night vision burb.
Yes, exactly. How lucky. And I will find the way, because we need to find the way.
All right. Since Sten just did animal handling, do you want to try to do something else with that? Perception or any other skill that you can sell?
Let's
really.
See here.
Oh, also, I feel bad. Eric, you had a crit on initiative. You should have had advantage on that roll, so I guess you will have that on the next roll.
Oh, well, I won't complain.
If, in fact, it comes to you.
All right, I'll go ahead and use perception.
Okay.
Ugh, and Eden rolled an 11 in perception. What is it with me and 11s this evening?
11s are not great, as the DC is 14 for this leg of the journey.
It is more dangerous.
But, just for a learning experience, this is an opportunity in which you might tap one of the kobolds to give you advantage on this roll. While Guiding Wind is already tapped, you have 5 other kobolds who might help you.
That sounds like a fantastic idea. Let's see here.
Which do you think is good at perception? Which may be a little bit harder for you because you actually haven't been here for all the sessions in which they have been just randomly doing things where they give away their abilities.
I'm going to have to guess. Firekeeper sounds good.
Longcaster, maybe?
told that.
I'm sorry, Guiche, did you say
what?
Something?
What? No, I didn't quite say bonecaster. I didn't say bonecaster, maybe.
This kobold is covered in bone armor, and when nothing is happening, compulsively drops to a knee and scatters small mismatched bones onto the ground before picking them up again. Yeah.
Is that actually perception? I don't know. Maybe.
That sounds like a perceptive lad. All right, I will ask Bonecaster to help me.
Okay. Bonecaster sees you talking to your bird and sending it off into the darkness and does exactly that. Drops to a knee and starts scattering bones onto the ground and looks up at you and hisses and clicks a little bit, and Guiding Wind comes over and says, Bonecaster says your animal will not be successful.
Oh, okay. That was helpful. Thank you.
You are welcome. That is a fail. As you guys are waiting for Eve to return, something bad is going to happen, and either one of these kobolds is going to die, or Eden is going to lose half her hit die.
Sorry.
Which one
do you say?
There's only one right answer, Eden.
Don't give in to peer pressure.
No, I can sacrifice half my hit die. Dice.
Okay, correct. I think that puts you down to one hit die.
Yes. Oh, half of the total, not half of how many I still have left. Gosh
right.
Darn it. Oh, well. All right. Fine. I'll do it.
So any more fails she would do are just for free, right?
Nope. She would start taking damage.
Really dumb, James.
I'm sorry. This is a dangerous place.
Really dumb.
James doesn't make the rules.
All right, Iria, what's up?
Strong.
Yeah, you are.
I'm going to use an athletic check.
What are you going to do?
Plus 13, right? It's plus 13 right now.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of stupid. I love it.
Yes.
You've got a potion of Storm Giant's strength.
Yes. Need more. I am going to... Are we still in the room? The cavern room?
Much like any other skills challenge, you are in a mysterious zone of wherever you need to be to do something cool.
Okay. I guess I gotta use my imagination.
Heck. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm gonna look. Is there, like, is it just a cliff? Or is it, like, there's an opposing side across the way?
There's an opposing side across the way. It is just really far away.
Okay. Never mind.
How about this? Identify which one you want to do first. Find the way, something from the darkness, or take a look. Take a look around. If you're really keen to use your strength, I would say maybe something from the darkness, because then you could just like punch bad guys in the face and like your fist goes through their head.
I was going to think that might be the most helpful. I was also thinking of like using athletics to climb up the side of where we are to go up and see what's above us.
That could be a find the way.
I like that plan.
Yeah, because that's kind of more... I mean, actually, no. I was going to say that's kind of more Iria style, but running into a crowd of violence is also kind of her style. But I think she will... just be like, hooah, and then climb up the outside of where they are and just keep climbing until she finds, with a rope, she has a rope, until she finds, like, a good safe place for them to get to that makes sense for them to go.
Okay. Do you want to tap any of the kobolds?
I will choose, are any of them any good at climbing or... Well, there is the one with the wings. He's good at flying. But we've already used him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guiding Wind. Are any of them good
My
at
bad.
Flying? the one who
Hey,
was
well, you succeeded, Sten, so...
True.
Yeah. The one who was climbing up earlier that Guiding Wind was chasing.
That was...
Firekeeper.
Firekeeper.
I will tap Firekeeper and be like, come climb with me, friend.
Okay. So you tap Firekeeper and do climb way up the cavern wall as you look down into the city below, the pinpoint spots of old magical glowing rocks, and also just like various points of luminescent fungus, as well as one like angry dragon that has shaken out its wing like a runner on a bad knee. Roll athletics at advantage, as Firekeeper is an exceptional climber.
But it's plus 13, right?
Yeah, at advantage, plus 13.
So do I minus the 4 from my 13 that I rolled?
Just plus 9 on top of the 4.
Okay. Sorry. So I have a 22 in athletics with my advantages and strength. All
right. That sounds like a success to me. Iria climbs up the edge of the wall, just like, no problem. As you are climbing, your fingers literally embed themselves in the stone.
Awesome. Like and, Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Firekeeper just looks over at you and gives you like this sort of upwards showing his neck nod of respect, it seems.
She nods back and goes, ha ha ha.
This is terrible.
she did bring rope, so...
You guys are tied together. This is why you have advantage, so you don't fall to your death.
Okay, yeah, but I mean, like, to lower down to everyone else as well, just if that's how they want to get up.
In this case, you managed to get to a different level of the this cut into the wall, so you're a little bit higher now, and this path is more clear and less obstructed by dangerous things. Yay!
Yay!
All right, Guige, you're up.
I really like Sariel's idea about finding blueprints, but I'm going to do something for the darkness, just get it out of the way. Okay. And I got to figure out what's make up a thing and then figure out what skill. What are they called? Are they called Dark Mantle?
Dark Mantles, I think, are from the bestiary, and they're like these scary manta rays that fly around in the dark and like wrap people up and vampire them.
I was going to suggest bats, so that's just...
I guess that'll say as Guy starts to climb up, he'll use his rope and start to help people climb up and whatnot. And they encounter some dark mantle. And he's kind of, I guess, Indiana Jones swinging back and forth with his magic rope, flashing our dark mantle.
That sounds good to me. So these things, as you guys are climbing up, things that Iria avoided just by being fast as she's just climbing so quickly and unnaturally, the rest of you encounter these things that are attached to the wall and start to awaken and swoop past you. And Guiche swings out Pirates of the Caribbean style and starts slashing at him.
Yeah, so would that be strength or dexterity or what?
I would say that could be acrobatics or... Iria just did athletics, so not that. I would say acrobatics.
Okay, I'll do acrobatics.
Do you want to tap one of the...
Nope.
...guys for this?
I rolled a 15.
All right. Just so you know, like, in the future, I'm not going to let you tap people after you roll.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't.
So... Just for future knowledge, I don't want people being mad about it. Guiche swings out and cuts these things with his Sword of the Squire, and they fall into the darkness below, screeching and revealing. One side is this horrifying tooth-covered face with little beady eyes, and the other side is so black that you cannot see it in the darkness. But Guiche is just swinging around, cutting these things down, and manages to... get you all to the next layer before they do any damage.
I want to say I have one on my sword, and when we get to something firm, to some terra firma, I'm like, I don't know if you guys want these. Like, I keep wanting to be calling them goblins. He'll throw the one that's still on his sword down. He's like, I don't know if you kobolds want this, but here you go.
They descend upon it and begin eating it, just like tearing it apart. And inside, it's like maybe like a 3-inch piece of leather that they are eating that's filled with muscle. Pretty gross looking.
Guy jerky, okay.
But they go at it like hyenas for a couple minutes before you guys move on and seem appreciative.
I just learned that Fred and George Weasley from Harry Potter's patronuses were hyena and coyote respectively.
Nice. Trickster gods.
Yes.
All right. Cool. All right, Winter, your turn.
Come on, Sario.
Yee. Okay, so with skills challenges, like, time's kind of fluid, right?
Absolutely.
So before we climb out, I would indeed like to find, or at least try to find, blueprints or schematics for building stuff is kept in a specific place in the craft room. That is what I would like to look for.
Cool. What about this makes it dangerous?
Gotta make sure not to accidentally set off any traps. Gotta make sure not to just, like, step on some rubble the wrong way and break my neck.
Okay, that sounds like perception.
All right.
Do you want to tag any of your dudes for this?
Who do we have left? There's Crashing Tide and Ground Shaker.
Ground Shaker, Crashing Tide, and Lifebringer. Life Tender. Even I have trouble with these names.
Right. Kind of want to hassle Crashing Tide just because he seems like shy. Like, come participate, friend. But I feel like it's probably more likely that either Ground Shaker or Life Tender would be a little more perceptive, maybe. Next time we have a short rest, we're just going to be like, hey guys, what are you good at? What do you like to do?
I was hoping you guys would know by now, because these, right? These skill challenges are very dangerous.
Oh god. I'm gonna tag Ground Shaker.
Okay. So as you pick your way amongst the rubble into the darker portions where you think this might be, based off of signs and various architecture and the like, as you take a look around, Sariel, roll at advantage, perception.
Sariel rolled a 16 in perception.
Awesome.
At advantage, yay.
You find your way into a room where the archway that is holding up the door looks very precarious and is being held up by like a single bar of bending iron. And stepping in the right place is key. And as you're looking around, you not only find some scroll cases with blueprints in them, all various forms of the dwarvish stone thrower, you also find a prototype on the table, which is small enough to carry.
Oh, sweet score.
This is an object that can cast Catapult at level 3 once a day on any object that is smaller than a bowling ball, relatively.
Time to put the squirrel in the medieval bazooka.
Yeah. Turn into a bear. make that catapult cast at like level 9.
Oh,
because you increase in mass.
Mock which speed is what, bear.
Which is what the spell is based off of. Nice. Okay. Sariel returns to you all with a much narrower, much shorter tube with much like finer work on it, and it has some handles, like it's clearly meant to be held.
I want to say Sariel would try to at least roughly transcribe some of the blueprints, even though they might not be much use to her now. Maybe she'll find someone later who knows
about them. Some scroll cases. Like,
there we
yeah,
go.
You've got those two.
Yee!
All right, well, congrats, everyone.
Nobody died. Yay!
So Yay! The question is, Sten, do you want to arrive where you're going, or do you want to take more risks?
Oh, I want to arrive where I'm going.
Okay. All right. So let's see. Where are you going? As you guys are descending, as this place doesn't appear to have a way to go down the wall from where you are, and Iria is no longer an ubermensch, so she can't just, like, claw her way down the wall.
She's on a... I'm like, what is it when you, like... When your drugs wear off and you have like a low like
you're crashing.
Rebound. You're crashed. She's like really sad and feels really weak and just like, oh, have I ever lived this way?
Iria was just walking through all this rubbish, like pushing it out of the way, and then has a moment where she's not dealing with anything and then like bumps her shin on something and just like is like, oh,
she's
as
like
it wears off.
Sadly dragging her pack, like, how has this always been so heavy?
You were light as a feather for a while. As you turn down a hall that leads deeper into the wall but appears to be the only sensible way to go, and by the directions and various signage and maps you have seen seems to lead in the direction you want to go, you look down this hallway and see a number of strange structures obscuring the way, and as you get deeper, you start to see moss on all the walls as it begins to be very wet where everything has been dry before. And in the distance, you start to see various spheres moving around in the large tunnel in front of you. And at first, you think, is this Sylnethroth again? Because these look about to be the right size. But as you get closer and bring your light to bear, you see that they are large fungal blooms waving in the middle of the hallway, in the middle of these giant caps attached to the wall, waving in the way. You see a single figure, a skeletal humanoid with fungal mass pressed up against the bones every which way, with a cap coming and sprouting above its head. It stands in the way holding a spear.
Oh, it's a myconid!
I smell friendship.
and we will wrap for the evening. That the egomaniacal Zelnetharoth emerges victorious from the Undercity and the Nothing's Thrall. But with their lord friend now safely behind them, what new danger must his servants stare down next? Find out next time on Sometimes Heroes.
More mushroom friends.
I don't smell friendship. I doubt it's going to be a friend.
We could probably allow the mushrooms out of their box.
Yeah, we'll see if they can have a chat.
We sort of befriended Zelnetharoth as best we can. So yeah, no more friendship.
Just a b-
good job, guys.
That went like way better than I expected, I'm not gonna lie. I feel like we could have been destroyed by that, dude.
I am bummed that it didn't get to use all its eye beams on you though.
Yeah, but we got super lucky.
Yeah, we could have gotten get to use its beefy stuff.
Like that could have gone real bad real fast. Like real bad.
You're supposed to re-roll duplicates. Dang. Because he did at some point do two telekinesis rays.
Yes, he did.
Oh well.
And then get into fears too. Oh well.
Such is life.
You us. I like that we bottled up his spit.
I feel like it might be like if you could take stuff out of troll bones and get residuum, I feel like Geisha might be able to find someone to be like, oh yeah, we can do something with this.
I know a good use for it. If we ever encounter him again and have to fight him to the death after he's dead, or preferably like as he's on the floor dying, we can pour his own spit on top of his face.
Nice.
There you go.